President Trump accuses China of violating international sanctions on North Korea. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. South Korea says it recently seized and inspected a Hong Kong-registered ship suspected of supplying oil to North Korea. That's in defiance of international sanctions. President Trump says China has been caught red-handed and that this kind of move will prevent what he calls a, quote, friendly solution, end quote, to North Korea's missile program. From Seoul, Sophie Long with our partner the BBC has more details.
South Korean customs officers inspected the Lighthouse Winmore when it entered Yeosu port in the south of the country at the end of November. The vessel had left the port on the 11th of October, exactly a month after the UN Security Council imposed sanctions banning all ship-to-ship transfers of goods for North Korea. It was bound for Taiwan, but officials say instead of going to Taiwan, it transferred 600 tons of refined oil to one North Korean ship and three others in international waters. The South Korean Foreign Ministry said it was a typical case of North Korea shrewdly circumventing UN sanctions by using its illegal networks.
Sophie Long with our partner, the BBC, and let's do the numbers. Asian markets ended the day there slightly up, with China's Shanghai Composite Index up almost 11 points, about 0.3%. Japan's Nikkei was down 19 points, less than 0.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are trending up this morning ahead of the U.S. market open. Apple is apologizing for slowing down older iPhones. A report this month showed that the company was doing this intentionally, a move the company now says was necessary to avoid unexpected shutdowns related to battery fatigue. Some customers interpreted the move as a way to juice demand for newer models. Apple says it will cut the price of battery replacement to $29, which it plans to offer starting in late January for anyone with an iPhone 6 or later. Stocks in the for-profit prison sector skyrocketed after the election of President Trump. The Obama administration and Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton both pledged to phase out their use by federal agencies, an approach Trump rejected. But the boost many investors expected hasn't happened yet. Marketplace's Andy Euler explains what's going on.
The reason private prison companies exist is that federally run facilities are overcrowded. Kelsey Oliver is an analyst at the market research firm Ibis World.
Many times the Federal Bureau of Prisons will contract directly with the major companies in the industry, such as CoreCivic and Geo Group, when they need space or need additional facilities.
So growth in this industry depends in large part on federal investment. Trevor Hanger is with Heights Securities.
Funding is a hard thing to predict in the federal budget. There are probably other indicators you can look to try and assess where the profitability of these companies are going long term.
Some investors thought for-profit detention centers would fill up with detainees as the Trump administration pressed tougher immigration policies. In fact, immigration arrests along the border fell, but crime is still prevalent. So Trevor Hanger's optimistic about private prison stocks.
As long as the U.S. economy stays strong, and quite frankly, as long as there's a vibrant drug trade in the United States, the likelihood is that those border crossings will increase.
And immigration and customs officials will ultimately have to house the people they've detained somewhere. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
December 31st is coming up fast, and that means time is running out to make your tax-deductible donation to support Marketplace. Your gift not only tells us that you value what we do, it also helps us do more of it and reach more people as well. Objective, trustworthy journalism matters. We hear from listeners like you every day that Marketplace helps people understand the financial forces that affect their lives so that they can make better decisions. This is your chance to be a partner in our efforts to raise economic intelligence across the country. For as little as $5 a month, become a Marketplace investor today. Donate online at marketplace.org, and thanks for making a difference.
On September 20th, Hurricane Maria slammed into the U.S. territory of Puerto Rico, bringing 155-mile-per-hour winds and 6 months' worth of rain in less than 4 days. The death toll of the storm is uncertain. The government's official count is 64, but some suspect it could be in the thousands. A few days later, the mayor of San Herman sent the governor of the island a message through a YouTube video.
Señor gobernador, el mensaje que usted está dando al público no es el que está ejecutando.
He's begging the Puerto Rican government for help for his city in the southwestern part of the island, far from the capital, San Juan. It's now over 3 months later, and about 30% of the island is still without electricity. The town of San Herman is one of the oldest cities in Puerto Rico, founded in the 1500s. In the aftermath of Hurricane Maria, trees littered its old streets and continued rains battered its Spanish stone churches. Isidro Negron Irizarry is the mayor of San Herman. I spoke with him a month ago, and he said bureaucracy was slowing down the recovery.
I think that we can do better without the bureaucracy of the government and without the bureaucracy of the FEMA. It's too high.
Yesterday, FEMA opened a disaster recovery office in San Herman to help the 8,000 residents the mayor says applied for assistance. San Herman's hospitals, its university, and museums are back up and running, but not all sectors of the local economy are doing as well. Take agriculture, for example.
We need 2 or 3 or 4 years to recovery with some plantations as coffee, plantain, but they are working to again start to have their products for the people. But I think that it's going to have 4 or 5 years to recovery.
Mayor Negron Irizarry says the town is working with the Army Corps of Engineers to clear away damaged vegetation and debris. Though water and most of the power has been restored to San Herman, the cleanup effort is ongoing.
Since the first moment, we started cleaning the roads first to go to the hospitals and working hard in all the roads with the help of the people in different neighborhoods.
And right now, recovery is on everyone's minds.
We're working hard. We're not going to drop our arms. We're going to work hard to develop San Herman, to put San Herman at the same manner that was before the hurricane.
Isidro Negron Irizarry is the mayor of San Herman, Puerto Rico. He's just one of 5 officials we spoke to this week about recovery efforts following hurricanes and wildfires in the U.S. this year. If you missed them on air, check out those conversations at marketplace.org. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Nguyen. Our engineer this week is Brian Allison. And I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.